Welcome to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster.
With me is Pamela Rosewell Moore, former traveling companion of Corrie ten Boom. Welcome to the broadcast, Pamela.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you for having me on your broadcast.
Well, Pam, I'm wondering about the incredible impact that Corrie had on your life.
I'd love to give a clear and concise answer to that very big question. Impact's a big word, isn't it? But let me come at it at a particular angle and see if this will help give some idea of the answer. Corrie ten Boom, as you know and as many know, was a survivor of Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany. She was released from there in 1944 and had been put in prison and concentration camp for helping hide Jewish people in her home in the Netherlands. Although her release from the concentration camp was unexpected, she was able to leave and to spend the next 33 years of her life traveling through the world, telling whoever would listen what she'd experienced in Ravensbrück, which she described as the deepest hell that man can create. She told the world, as many as would listen, that the love of God is stronger than the deepest darkness. She'd lost her brother Willem, her beloved sister Betsy, her father Caspar, and her nephew Kik as a result of imprisonment and in prison and concentration camp. And I believe, Patty, that God gave Corrie ten Boom as a gift to the world in our time. There would be many examples I could think of to speak of the kind of impact that she had on me and many. But there's one particular thing which I know would change the world tomorrow, and it was one of the most important parts of her message. She underlined the necessity of forgiving our enemies. Those people she loved so dearly could never be replaced, of course, and they died in a very cruel way. Betsy, her sister, died by starvation, not having been given enough to eat in the camp. But shortly after Corrie was released, she started traveling around the world, bringing the message of God's love as she'd seen it in the deepest of darknesses, of how the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ transformed very difficult circumstances. One day after the war, she was at a meeting in Germany. It was the mid-1940s, or perhaps the late-1940s, and the building was cold. It was a church building where this meeting took place. Just imagine what it was like in Germany in the 1940s. There was a great loss for the Germans, of course, with the war itself and the humiliation. But not only had they lost their place of power, but literally the kind of power that produces heat, for example. It was a very cold church building that she was meeting in. I don't know how many people were there, but as she looked out at her audience, she saw a man who wouldn't look into her eyes, and she suddenly recognized him as a guard in the concentration camp who'd been particularly cruel to her sister Betsy as she was dying. And Corrie said to herself, "I wonder what that man is doing here." She continued and finished her talk, and afterwards some people lined up to say hello to her, including, at the back of the line, the guard. Eventually, it was his turn to stand before her. There she stood, the ex-prisoner and the guard. And he said rather confidently, "Fräulein ten Boom, I saw in the newspaper that you were coming to speak at this church, and that's why I'm here. Since the war, I have become a Christian. I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for my sins and has forgiven me. And I've asked him to give me a miracle. The miracle is that of asking one of my former victims to forgive me. And that's why I'm here, Fräulein." And he held out his hand, as if he wanted her to place hers in his. This must have happened in just a few split seconds, Patty, because Corrie looked at that hand and she couldn't place her hand in it. She said, "I kept my hand clenched tightly behind my back. All I could think of was the suffering my sister had been through. But then I also remembered what it says in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 6, it says that if we do not forgive our enemies, neither do we receive forgiveness." But she couldn't forgive. But then, very quickly, came perhaps the greatest secret of her victorious life. She turned from the problem very quickly to the Lord Jesus with her, "I cannot do it." And she said, "Help me, Lord." That was her prayer. Into her mind immediately came a Bible verse that she knew as from the book of Romans in the New Testament. where it says that the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. And she saw what she had to do. She needed to forgive this man, but not with any kind of love she could conjure up from her own heart, but by receiving from God the love that he was willing to give her by the power of the Holy Spirit, the love and the forgiveness. So she obeyed quickly. She held out her hand to the man, the guard, the ex-guard, and said, "Brother, I forgive you from my heart." And she grasped his hand and shook it. And I heard her tell this story many times. It was so important to her. And she always tried to describe how it felt. She said, as they clasped hands, it was as if a little bolt of electricity came into her shoulder and down to her elbow and her wrist and her hand. And she described it that way. And at that moment, she had a very important message for the world. Now, I can't really just leave it there, because your listeners may be wondering, as many would, is it really as easy as that? If somebody is murdered or has caused the death of people dear to me, is it just as easy as receiving the love of God and shaking a person's hand? Now, Corrie believed that basically it is at the very heart of the matter that simple. If a believer trusts the Lord Jesus and believes his promises, such as giving help when we need it, then it really is that simple. He did it then. He gave love for that guard. It was a finished transaction. It was contained in the death of the Lord Jesus for her sake. But that doesn't mean that in the years that followed, she didn't regret terribly and grieve the loss of her family. And I'm sure she felt some anger. I think that would be normal. I'm not a counselor, but I think it would be a normal response to such trauma. But when these things came back to her, she prayed about it. She prayed immediately about it and gave it back to the Lord. And she sought the advice of friends. And gradually over the years, the Lord helped her so that this didn't keep coming into her mind. Once, to get some advice, she travelled on a long journey to receive advice from somebody. And again she was able to put it into God's hands. I'm sure, because working at the end of her life, I know there was no bitterness in her. It would have been very obvious. I worked so closely with her. She'd forgiven from her heart, and it left a tremendous, you could call it a legacy, Patty. It's a legacy, though, only if people receive it. And what would it mean to the world if there was forgiveness on all kinds of levels, not just in our country here in the United States, but throughout the world? It wouldn't take us long, would it, to name a lot of places where, by the grace of God, it will be possible to shake hands. So that is perhaps the biggest thing I could say, perhaps the biggest impact that she left for the world. And there are many other things that she gave. But she didn't consciously give it. She was just obeying God. She would describe herself as an ordinary person. People tend to elevate her on a pedestal above that which she wanted. She certainly didn't want it. Some people would come and say to her, "I wish I was brave as you, Corrie." But then she often quoted this little poem, "Coward and wayward and weak, I change with the changing tide. Today so eager and brave, tomorrow not daring to try. But he never gives in, and we too will win, Jesus and I." She wasn't a brave person. She said that often. Immediately after getting out of the concentration camp, and she called it a miracle that she did get out, she went back to her old home where the hiding place had been, and neighbors who loved her and were glad to see her back and were so sad about what had happened to her father and sister and brother and nephew, they would say, "You're so brave, Corrie." But she couldn't leave it at that when they said, "You had such faith." She said, "I know very well for myself that my faith was always very weak. Therefore, if I tell you to imitate my faith, that's not a good answer. But if I tell you it was Jesus that made me strong by giving me the strength and showing me his love constantly, then I am giving you the right message. It's not Corrie ten Boom's courage, because she didn't have any. It is Jesus who will help you."
Pam, from your time along the journey with Corrie to your time now, day by day by day, what impact and influence from her life has been etched into your life for God's glory as he uses you in lives today?
One way I could answer that question, Patty, is by telling about what Corrie called the most joyful commandment in the Bible, which is, "Be filled with the Spirit." I could see in her life that everything that was just of herself or of her own design was subjugated to the will of God. Now, I don't mean that it was laid on the ground and trampled over. Everything that she gave to him, he redeemed, as it were. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. And she was willing to lay down her life, her family, her country, to travel for decades, to go from one place to another, sometimes only having one or two nights with her head on the same pillow. And through this example, I think there really was an impact on my life. I could see very clearly that it was only through having less of myself and more of him that he could have that impact. It wasn't that I thought, if she can do it, I can do it. Of course, that was very inspiring, but I wasn't her. She had her own gifts, and they were very remarkable gifts. It did help, of course, to watch her. She lived a pure life before God. She wasn't a saint who was sort of separate from everybody else. She also enjoyed life tremendously and had a terrific sense of humour. I could honestly say that here was a woman who was everything she claimed to be. But she didn't claim to be it. She was just being herself. She was just telling the story and living life. She was full of integrity and honesty. And with that ability to laugh, she had the wonderful gift of not laughing at people or telling jokes about people. She didn't take advantage. I never saw her diminish one person. She would lift them up, but in a healthy way. And she wouldn't praise people in an overly kind of way. But she would let them know that they were pleased. She was pleased with their work, for example. But what I'm trying to say is that the only way we can be victorious is by repeating or having in mind or bearing in mind often the wonderful doctrine that Jesus is the victor. And Jesus is victor was the Tenbaum family slogan. Victor's a bit out of date these days. Perhaps we can find a better word. You could say Jesus is winner. Jesus is the winner in my life today. Jesus will always be the winner. He will be the one who conquers and overcomes. And that can only be said when Jesus gives us, or we allow him to fill us completely with his Holy Spirit. Aunt Corrie had a visual aid. It was a very simple thing. It was a large plastic see-through glove. She would go up on the stage with it, and sometimes with several other aids, visual aids. But she would hold up the glove, and it would just flap around in her hand. There was nothing in it. And she'd say to the people, "Look at this glove. It can do absolutely nothing. But when I put my hand in it," and she'll put her hand halfway, but the fingers were still flapping, although the first part had her hand in it. She said, "That's very like you and me. Look at this glove with just part of it filled and the fingers flapping. We can be just partly filled with the Spirit, not very influential. But look what happens when I put my thumb and my four fingers right up into this plastic glove. It can wave, it can write books, it can even play the piano." She said, that's what it's like being filled with the Spirit. We must allow to be taken out of our lives everything that is not of God and allow him to fill us with his Holy Spirit. So let's encourage people to allow God to do that. There's nothing to be afraid of. He ordained that we should be born in this time in the history of the world. It didn't just happen by chance. He chose us to be born at this time. There's therefore grace and ability through the power of the Spirit to do what he asks.
During this season of your life, what is God teaching you right now?
Let me think. In this particular season of my life, I'm not in a structured ministry in the sense that I was when, as a young woman in my early 20s, I went to work in East Africa for the Archbishop of the province of East Africa. When I was a little bit older, in my 20s, I went to the Netherlands and worked with the team of Brother Andrew, who wrote a book called God Smuggler. At that time, it was before the fall of the Iron Curtain, and his team took Bibles and help into Iron Curtain countries, as they were called then. I was there for 7 years, and that laid a lot of groundwork, including the Dutch language and culture, which became very useful indeed. When I later worked for exactly 7 years, with Corrie ten Boom. I loved working with a team. I think that one of the things God is teaching me at this season of my life is to be patient, as I do not have a team to work with. There's so much encouragement in working with other people. Now, I don't mean I don't have a team. I have a beloved husband, Carey Moore, and we've been married now for 22 years. I work from my home. I've done that for 5 years now. I've done writing and speaking and a lot of correspondence with people who write to me. And there's always been an underlying urgency in my life concerning prayer. I believe that things can be brought about by prayer, which cannot be brought about in any other way. I worked for 14 years with Dallas Baptist University in their prayer ministry too. Now, there's no such thing, of course, as a professional intercessor. And I would say I do want to know more about praying without ceasing. I want it to be much more a reality than I think it is at the moment. Carrie and I, since the beginning of our marriage, we met and married after Tante Corrie died, we've sought to pray together every day. We've written a book about it. But in fact, we don't always do it. We even forget sometimes, even though we did write the book. And prayer, as many of you know, and I know you know, Patty, it takes tremendous discipline. It's not the kind of thing you do at the end of your life when you've got time. That's something all of us have to learn, all of us who want to love God and follow him with passion. So that is the thing I'm always learning. What is prayer? In which case is it all right to pray in general for somebody? In some cases, God would want to put somebody on my heart so that I'm awake at night and thinking about it. The Holy Spirit can teach us when we need to persevere in prayer for a certain person and when it's all right to bring that person in faith, but perhaps quite briefly before the Lord. It's very important to say, Lord, how do you want me to pray for this? I know a little bit about that too. He might ask us to make some changes. I would apply that to my marriage. I want to be more like my husband. He's a very patient man. I think he's like the Lord Jesus. You know where it says, it's where the Lord says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble of heart. And Carey is a gentle and humble of heart man. And I want to be more like that. It's the only place in the Bible where the Lord Jesus is described. I want to be a better wife for him, and I mean that with all my heart, to seek more what it is that he needs. This time in my life, traveling quite a bit, speaking, and also working more than I've ever worked before with my local church. So I hope these are some pointers to the kinds of things that have helped me to be a stronger servant of the Lord, but only strong through the power of the Spirit. If I learnt one thing from Corrie ten Boom, it's that.
So, Pam, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they contact you?
They can send me an email. I'd be glad for that. My email address is pam@pamrosewellmore.org. My website is www.pamrosewellmore.org. And my phone number is 214-789-6812.
Thank you, Pam Rosewell Moore, for sharing a bit of what's important to your heart from your relationship with the Father and the difference that he's made in your life and the way he's using you to make a difference in the lives of those who cross your path.
Thank you, Patty, and thank you very much for your ministry.
Thanks for listening to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster. Patty is a motivational speaker, writer, musician, and has an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness. For more information, log on to www.pattyfoster.com.